Hey everyone, I'm Seth. I'm James Montemagno. I'm here stepping in for Seth. I'm super excited. Here to be on Channel 9 live at NDC Oslo. Of course, you can find me every week on Channel 9 at thezamarinshow.com, which is right here on Channel 9. So today I'm super excited because I get to talk some F sharp, which always blows my mind and just is amazing, but I don't understand it. But I always want to. Nikolai's here. First, can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I live here in Oslo. I'm from Norway. I work as a consultant, and my daily job right now is for a government agency here in Oslo and in Norway. And we're doing a lot of F-sharp there, introducing it in places where it's a bit difficult usually as a consultant to introduce it, and getting a lot of experience with both F-sharp and Azure Functions and Azure in general. So
I always get real excited because your company always has the best coffee here at NDC. Also, I don't know if people know about NDC, but there's just amazing coffee swarming around. And so first off, before we get to F-sharp, are you a chess fan? Are you a Magnus fan? What's going on? If you're from Oslo, I'm just thinking.
Yeah. No, I'm really from like northern Norway.
Okay.
So I just live in Oslo. So not really into the whole chess thing, but it's
disappointed. All right, let's go over.
I'm sorry. Everyone on my project is playing chess. They have this app, Magnus app, and playing against each other. And I just don't get it. I'm sorry.
I love it. I recently got back into it because I started following Magnus quite a bit. But anyways, let's talk about F sharp. And first off, before we jump to F sharp and functions, maybe you can talk about why it seems to give this passion for F sharp. What's the passion for F sharp? It's trending here at NDC. So why?
Well, it's trending a lot, and I kind of got into the community a few years ago, and it's always been such a great F-sharp community at NDC Oslo. So when you come here and you kind of figure out somehow, there's actually a functional track, and you start going to the talks, and you get a bit inspired, and that's how I get started with F-sharp. And then, like, slowly starting to use it in, like, private projects, in like internal stuff our company Beck, and then we actually started using it at customers and started seeing great benefits from functional programming and F sharp.
So if someone's a C sharp developer like myself, what would be the why for F sharp? Like, why would I want to? Because every time I look, there's pipes and there's things happen and there's spaces matter. So the 1 to 2 second why is F sharp so amazing?
Because it helps you write better code, and it has a much quicker feedback loop than a lot of the C-sharp code you write.
I like to say C-sharp is becoming a little bit more functional with like C-sharp 7. Like, we're stealing some of those features, but like our pattern matching quite isn't up to the pattern matching in F-sharp and things like that. So serverless seems to be this buzzword, and you just gave a talk on F-sharp and Azure Functions. So just like we just did for F-sharp, why is serverless also this big trending topic, and why Azure Functions?
Yeah, it's because with the cloud and all the possibilities that it gives us, we're moving from this on-premise to infrastructure as a service and all the way into this serverless space where we can stop thinking about everything that is around our code and just focus on writing what provides value. And we have a very very focused way of thinking about that at our project, where it's like, if something is not in production and giving value to the user, it's not worth anything. It's worth zero. So you just get everything out to production, and serverless really helps us with that because we only focus on writing business value code.
Got it. Cool. And I think a lot of developers, even myself, get confused, but we're always like, it's not really serverless, right? There's some servers that are out there.
Absolutely. Right? It's like the serverless word is a bit of course there are servers underneath, but the whole concept is that you don't have to think about these servers, that they even exist.
Yeah.
So with like platform as a service and these kind of services, there you have to have some kind of notion. There is a node running on some server. Like, that is in the back of your head when it comes to scaling. And there's always something running at night to make sure, just in case one user can't sleep and he comes into your app, there has to be something there answering him.
Yeah.
Well, with serverless and functions as a service, like functions running on a cloud provider, then you don't have to think about that. You can scale down to zero, I like to say.
Yeah, because literally with functions and serverless compute, you're paying for only the time used, and it's like the 0.000 of a millisecond, like way down, right? So if it's off, it's not actually off. They're just kind of waiting. Is things just waiting around in the
exactly.
cloud?
Exactly. It's like it's just waiting there for something to come that is addressed to you, and then it like boots it up super quick executes the code and goes away again.
So what are some use cases that you're seeing in the world of not only just serverless with Azure Functions compute, but also with F-sharp in this combination? Like, because what I've always heard was kind of event-based. And is that what you're seeing with Functions, or what are your use cases?
When you go off to like a serverless infrastructure or architecture, you kind of go towards this more immutable event-sourced kind of way of thinking. But you don't have to do that. There are a lot of use cases you can still use functions for, especially in everything around your application, like business processes and stuff like that. And that's kind of the main selling point for us. We don't want right now to implement our huge domain-specific applications in serverless, because in some years we might, when it's matured a bit more.
Got it.
Because we really like this idea about, but you kind of have to think a bit in another way with serverless than you have to do with traditional hosting.
So are you taking kind of the vast amount of your application today and breaking it into pieces and then deploying? Like, how big is a function? Like, I mean, can it be huge? Can it be small? I mean, what can it be?
It can be anything. You can put DLLs on Azure Functions and just run whatever you want from them.
But got it.
But the point is, even if you're going serverless, you are not changing the way you write code. You still want modularized code. You still want components, shared libraries.
Got it.
So your functions is just what a controller method in MVC is today.
Got it.
It's like an entrance into your business domain.
Okay, perfect. Well, do you want to show us where to get started? We can transition over, and I know we'll put you on the spot over here of just where to get going, but. Yeah, for me, I got really excited because in Azure Functions, it supports like all sorts of different languages, right? It's not just F-sharp. If you're writing C-sharp or running anything, you can basically run any code in it, really.
Absolutely. It, the most supported languages that supports all the triggers and inputs and outputs are like F-sharp or .NET, C-sharp and F-sharp, probably. And also JavaScript.
Oh, cool.
And often JavaScript functions are even faster because they are more dynamic and they don't need that much time to like get started.
Got it.
We were talking about when the function is hit, then
there's no runtime to spin up or anything.
It's just execute the JavaScript. It's ready.
Cool.
So usually,
I'm in the portal.
Yeah, now we're in the Azure portal.
Got it.
And this is just the world's most simplest resource group with a function app. And the cool thing with Azure Functions is that it's built on top of App Service.
Okay.
So you get all of the cool things you know and love from App Services, you get in a function app. And a lot of people who are not into .NET and are more in the Java community, and we're consultancies, so we have everyone there. And they are a bit like, yeah, we'd rather use AVS Lambda because we feel it's more mature. And that's always my selling point, that it's built on top of the app service. So you have everything like authentication, custom domains, and especially the deployment slots is in preview right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same way. So can we pump this up a little bit on the
phone? Yeah, sure.
So there we go, perfect. So essentially, this is built on top of App Service, like you said. So if you'd run any ASP.NET website ever, this is going to look very familiar as far as all of the private keys and storage, and then you said deployment too.
Mm.
So everything is built in, essentially, logging. So it's going to feel like at home, I guess.
Yeah. It's the same screens that you're used to opening here, showing you like, you have a integration to GitHub where things are automatically pulled and deployed. So it's just about the structure that you deploy has to be a bit different, maybe.
Okay.
But it's basically what is deployed there. I can actually show some code here.
Cool.
And this is a function app. Sorry about that. This is a bit small. I'm not sure how to pump it up. But the point here is that it's just three functions, and they are just three folders.
Okay.
And that's what I deploy.
Yep.
And each of them just has a script inside them that run some code. Very simple. Here's an example of a function. You can disregard everything above here because that's just a local F-sharp scripting stuff. But if we look like from here, we'll see that this is a function.
And you're using all of your standard just .NET stuff, JSON.NET.
Everything is supported, and a lot of the things are already there. So if you just want to get super started, super simple, you can just go into the I'm not going to do it with the app I had there because it's locked because I have it in source control deploy.
Got it, yeah, yeah.
But you can just go in here, click add function. There are a lot of templates to just get started. And here's an example of an app where we take in a string. It's here by ref object. Don't worry about this. It's just the same as the out variable in C#.
Got it, okay.
Here I'm getting in, this is triggered by a queue, because something has been put on a queue.
Okay.
And it's getting a document from DocumentDB or CosmosDB.
Okay.
Because in that message is our document ID. And
okay.
I don't have to think about these things. All I have to think about is mapping up in my function.json,
What is this function? What is this doing here?
It tells a few things. It tells basically.
So every function has a few config. It has a code file that we just saw.
Yeah.
And this config file. So this is like the scaffolding of the ins and outs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Basically, it is. And you have a project JSON, where you put your
nuggets.
Yeah, your dependency that are not already in Azure Functions, which a lot of them are. And this is optional. If you don't need any nuggets, then you don't have to include
the
file.
Two plus two is
five. Yeah.
Then you're good.
Then you don't need anything. No. Then I don't actually think you either need the function.json. It will just figure it out if you have a place to enter your function. But basically what I'm saying in the function.json is this is the script I want you to execute. And I have what's smart to notice here is the direction. We have two things coming in and one thing going out.
Got it.
So we have a queue trigger, because when we talk about the functions in Azure Functions, we can go in and look at, they have a few things. I'm sorry. They have an input and an output, like any function.
Yeah,
That's known to everyone.
That's the idea, is that something is going to be triggered and then something will automatically be passed, and I don't have to like worry. Like it's just gonna give it to me.
Exactly,
okay,
that was my point actually, because you have the concept of triggers also.
Ah.
So your trigger doesn't have to be the input.
Oh, cool.
So for example, in the function that we saw here, the trigger is that something, in this case, a document ID, is as a message on a queue, and that's what triggers it. And then we get that trigger and that document ID. But Azure Functions automatically pulls out that document from DocumentDB or CosmosDB and maps it up to us as an input to my function.
So
So I can just start working on my my document like I'm doing in this function. Because you see, basically what I do is I deserialize it into a type I have. Because we all love types in F#. F# is all about types. So we have to get it into a type. And we basically just create an email and send it out in this message variable.
Okay.
And as we saw in the project JSON, the function JSON, we're sending it to output that's of type SendGrid, which is an integration that Azure has with SendGrid, which is software as a service sending emails, basically.
So essentially, since you're already in Azure and you already have a Cosmos DB or you have something else, you can set up these triggers and say, hey, listen, something went onto this queue, pass me this thing, and then any of these other integrations that are working with functions can be your input or output.
Exactly.
Like SendGrid, which is just an email, which is kind of cool to say, hey, listen, every time this happens, I'm going to and like that's the idea is what I'm seeing here is that you're running functionality that you could put in a web server, but now your web server has to be run every time. But maybe this only happens once a day.
Exactly.
So then the server's like, hey, I'm good, and here's an email, done.
Exactly. So I don't have to scale out to prepare for something that might never happen. I just get the usage that I want. I only get the executions that are needed.
Can you describe what's going on in this? I'm a C# guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So can you explain a little? Because this looks familiar, this JSON can deserialize object.
Yeah, so this is just normal NewtonSoft.json.
Got it.
Which I just included here. The DLL is already there in Azure Function for me to use. And this message type that I'm, this mail type I'm getting here, is coming from this SendGrid helpers. So the Web Jobs SDK, that is basically Azure Functions, has a lot of helpers to help me with the different outputs and inputs of Azure Functions. So
is piping? Is this what's going on? It's like a reverse arrow.
Yeah, and this is
I pretend that I'm an F# newbie because I am an F# newbie.
Yeah, so. Basically, this is out variable, and it's by reference, which makes it mutable.
Got it.
Which we usually don't do in F sharp. And this is the way you set a mutable value in F sharp.
Okay.
Because in F sharp, you have to be very verbose if you're going to do mutable. So you have to use like the mutable keyword. And if you don't use it, then you can't. Then you can't set the value.
Got it. Okay. So it's very. So that's like the,
this doesn't work.
That's a pretty big change then from someone that's using C sharp of the mutable object types.
Exactly. Got exactly. It. And but the F sharp compiler is of course awesome. It tells you exactly what is going on and what you have to do. And a lot of people actually ask me, like, because I'm a big F sharp guy. I love F sharp. I want to do it as much as possible. And of course, I'm the one who kind of. Got it into the to our solution at work, and a lot of people ask me like, how are the other guys, the hardcore C sharp devs handling getting suddenly we exchanged a whole data layer towards SQL SQL Server and we inserted F sharp type provider above that.
Oh, cool!
Because we used to use Dapper to write our own SQL queries. Now we use the type providers, and we get type safety. On the SQL string.
Oh, cool.
So if I have a typo in my SQL query that is a string in .NET, I still get a red squiggly line like here under
it,
and it says like, hey, this is not a table, this is not a column.
Got it.
And I get
that's
compile
cool.
time errors and instant feedback in Visual Studio.
Oh, that's awesome. I've heard, someone, I do a podcast with my good friend Frank, and he's an F-sharp diehard. He wrote an entire IDE on the iPad that you can write everything in F-sharp on your iPad.
Yeah.
And he was explaining, someone wrote into our show, and he was explaining to me that you could write like unit tests almost for your database with these type providers, because it basically ensures the,
and that's
the type
all my,
safety, which is
that's
crazy.
Always my main selling point of this. Like, okay, I probably want to write integration tests anyway, but now I can focus in my integration tests to actually test my domain and and that everything is, that what I wrote is what I meant to write. I don't have to check that I have typos in my SQL.
Like,
come on. It's 2017. I don't want to do that.
So cool. What else is happening here then? So we're setting the mail, we're setting some content, and then now I'm noticing here that there's no namespaces, there's no classes. It's just a function, right?
It's just a function, and that's the whole idea of this. It's an entry point here, which is my function. It just evaluates, and you can see I don't return anything. I just mutate this variable, and then when the function is done, because of this function.json where I provided an output,
it will
know that, okay, I gave you this input because I gave you this variable for free, dependency injected kind of. Done for me. So it knows that when your function is done, I'm using this for something, which in this case is sending the email.
Very cool. That makes sense.
So if you would see this in like a broader picture of more functions, you could have a simple function that takes now I'm getting some red squiggly lines here. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about those red squiggly lines.
Now, this is a bit of the... Like, there's never a silver bullet. This is because there are some things that are available on Azure Functions.
Got it.
That is not available here for me right now.
Got it.
But it's because I'm like, I want to be in code. I want to be on OS X. And it's getting better and better for every week, so I wouldn't worry.
I did hear that we're adding Azure Function support, and we already have F-sharp support in Visual Studio for Mac, by the way.
Yeah.
So be aware of the teams working on that really hard, too. And so, but you're using just VS Code here. You have the F-sharp plugin, I assume.
I'm using Ionide, and that's all I've installed, which is the F-sharp plugin for Visual Studio Code.
So this one's just taking in an HTTP request.
Yeah, basically, and that we can also, of course, read from the function.json. It triggers on an HTTP request, which has a few values in it, so it we turn that into a message and just add it on the queue.
Oh, cool.
Super simple, because the program calling this function, they don't want to wait for it to finish. It's like fire and forget and do something with this. So then it's easy, like, okay, I got it. I put it on the queue. That's super fast. And then you can just say, go on to do what you're doing.
Is there any way for a function to know? Like, if you trigger this function, is there a way to know that it was completed? Or is it really kind of fire and forget and...
You can do both.
Okay.
Depending on what you prefer.
Got it.
And we can see here the next function in line. And of course, we could also fork here and have two functions listening on this queue, like a classic queue programming with queues.
So when you get this trigger, you can have like 20, 30, 50 different functions all doing little, they're like almost like nano, little mini nano services that are running, right?
Yeah. You can use, instead of right here, I'm using a table storage queue, but you can use service bus, and you can have topics, and you can have like, you can hit a function like this and get the HTTP in, add it to a topic, and you can have as many functions as you like listening on that. And that way you can kind of also react in different ways to a business process happening or something.
Cool. Yeah.
You can, the best part I think is that you can always extend. So you're not locking yourself in, and that's a kind of cool way to cool architecture.
So once you have the functions here, how are you deploying them? You have to deploy them into Azure. Is there, what's the best practice? What do you find that's working well? Because I remember early on in functions, you could only write it in the browser, and that was about it. You don't really, because you're, this is in the browser.
This is in the browser, and you can use it from here. No. But from work, we don't do that. We have a function that is, and this is also a possibility. You see here, when I click the function, I don't get any code. I only get this function.json.
Got it.
And as you notice here, it says the script file isn't a script file. It's a DLL. So this is a pre-compiled function.
Got it.
Already compiled it on the build agent, and it's been deployed. So I know, because when you put a script file on Azure Function, it compiles the script file for you. Then you have the, then you don't know if it's going to build or not in that environment until you put it there.
But if
you pre-compile it, you know it's just going to go there, it's going to work.
And it'll probably even run faster because it doesn't have to literally compile on.
It compiles the function when you deploy it. So
when
the requests start coming in, it's already compiled for you.
Okay, cool.
But so this is how we do it in like a work, like a bit more secure environment, and we deploy that through the GitHub, the Git integration.
Oh, okay.
And
so this way,
super easy.
You could have the code there, but that means anyone could go in and then modify the code. So what you've done and your best practice over there is saying, hey, listen, we know that this DLL that we could probably put through smoke tests, we could have like QA or our developers test it. Once it's ready, then we go ahead and actually
deploy a
new
because DLL. my quality insurance steps that we have at work, they're not going to change just because I'm using Azure Functions.
Yeah.
So they can, or like I can prototype things very quickly, which is a big plus. And then when I find like, okay, this is working, this is how I want to do it, I make it into a compiled function.
Very cool.
Kind of the same way you work in F-Sharp with the F-Sharp Interactive. You usually send code to the Interactive, you play around, you make sure things work and that it is working the way you expect, how you want it to work, and then you make a program out of it.
Got it. And you said all this is just on your Git, you're on your GitHub, so essentially if you're using any source controller, like VSTS or GitHub. So your team is still working in a way that anyone can do modifications, there's full history, there's still full blame history, all that stuff. So it's just like you're working, but instead of working on this huge application, you're just working on this little tiny script file.
Exactly.
That's super maintainable.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So when you go into this kind of architecture, you kind of move into thinking a bit, you're getting closer to the big hype in microservices, and like you're thinking more in these ways. We have small specialized parts that are easy to deploy by themselves, to maintain by themselves, and are not too dependable on the other parts of your system.
And the bonus, I guess, is that since these servers, you're not paying for all of these servers. The servers are just up there somewhere, and it's serverless to you. Is that it's crazy cheap?
It's
right. I mean, are you seeing a huge cost savings? Is that the one benefit, I guess, for you?
There's so many free executions. I haven't started thinking about the cost at all. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, it's the free tier is just it covers most needs, I think.
That's awesome when someone's wanting to get started too. Is that they can prototype, they can try it out, and then even at scale. I remember Scott Guthrie was talking about, like, doing all this processing would literally just cost pennies so much because it's run like this one function runs for 0.0001 millisecond, and that's what you're paying for, actually.
Yeah.
And not this
and
huge
that's
server.
That's the big plus with this, and like we mentioned earlier against platform as a service, where you need to have something running all the time just in case.
Cool. We have one more minute before we jump out. So where can people find you, find more about Azure Functions and F-Sharp? Any key takeaways?
I would recommend people to just go to fsharp.org to check out F-Sharp. That's the definite best entryway, along with F-Sharp for Fun and Profit by Scott, which is the best place to learn everything about F-Sharp. Azure Function is just to go into the portal.
Into the portal. It's already here.
Click in the new button, the plus button, just write function. And you'll get everything. It's so
function
easy.
Function app, boom.
Yeah. And you get the storage and everything you need
Very
to play
cool.
along with it.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to head back to some more live sessions. Thank you so much for coming on and showing up.
Thank you for having me.
Now I want to go write F Sharp and Azure Functions all day.
Great.
Awesome. So we're going to take a little break, come back. I don't know what we're doing. It's crazy live here. Golna's over there is laughing at me. Seth didn't tell me anything. I love it. Thanks for tuning in to Channel 9, and we'll be back in just a few.